Welcome to this episode of Dialogues with Creators. A few things have been constants in this podcast, which is moving past its 60th episode since April of 2022. The first is that creativity is more than the traditional arts. It reaches into all realms of life. Second, we never really have had a single solid definition of creativity. Instead, we talk to creative people. Third, we just talk. I don't have an agenda here other than a good conversation with a fascinating person. Number four, I am very thankful to everyone who gets on here with me and does this podcast thing, because no money changes hands. They do it out of the goodness of their heart. Fifth, it wouldn't happen without Clemencia Villafuerte, producer extraordinaire. Sixth, please tell your friends and also listen to our past episodes. And number seven, I love doing this. Every time I think about stopping, well, I meet more people I want to interview. And that applies today. Back in the spring, I saw a notification on Facebook about a new bookstore in the Hickson, Tennessee area. I live in Dalton, Georgia, more than 50 minutes away, and I don't pay a great deal of attention to businesses up there. But I have some personal reasons to go to Hickson occasionally, so I contacted this business about having a book signing for my latest novel, Lying In. That's how I met Aniston Williams and her family and her endeavor, Rev Books and Coffee, at 1948 North Point Boulevard, Suite 144, Hickson, Tennessee. Remember that address. I was up there last week and thought, I need to interview creative entrepreneur Aniston. Stay tuned for our conversation. Aniston Williams, welcome to Dialogues with Creators.
Hey there, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's a Saturday night. I know you've been busy today, and Saturdays aren't necessarily easy days sometimes.
Definitely ready for bed by the end of the day, huh?
Hey, especially for you, since you have a business and you have a family. So let's start by you telling us about yourself. Who is Aniston Williams?
Well, like you just said, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and those are the two things I am most proud of. I'm also a reader, a writer, and a dream chaser. I love to create and just bring dreams to fruition, whether they're my own or other people's.
Dream. What'd you say? A dream catcher?
A chaser.
That is interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard that before. So, what's one of the dreams that you've chased? I guess this business, huh?
Yeah, that's one of them. And I know that kind of goes into some of the other things we'll talk about, like our name and that sort of thing. But yeah, this is definitely one of them. Helping young people, helping readers and literacy are other parts of my dreams as well. And yeah, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to take a detour here and say a couple of things based on what you just said, because this is interesting. And we haven't ever really talked too much, even when I come in the store or something. But so what do you like to read?
Well, you know, I try to read a little bit of everything. I grew up reading, Harry Potter, Louisa May Alcott, as mine, Little Women. I liked reading, different things like Where the Sidewalk Ends. So this was one of my favorites. I grew up reading poetry such as that. And as I got older, high school and college, especially my undergrad master's degree, a lot of my reading became for school. And so it wasn't so much for pleasure. But after I finished all of that, I was able to kind of enjoy reading more and picking out what I got to read. And so lately, I've been delving into a lot of historical fiction. I've tried to read some of a little bit of everything lately, some of the more modern fantasy and romance as well. Although I have to say, I'm kind of a sucker for a good mystery and a thriller. So that's what I really enjoy reading. I try to stay a little versatile, diverse in what I read, but I'm always looking for recommendations.
So, are you a native Chattanoogan?
Yes, in a way. I was born in Chattanooga. I was here until the middle of elementary school. And then for my dad's work, we actually moved to Maryland. So I lived there until the end of high school. I moved back here at the end of high school, finished up that. And then my undergrad and master's and all of that was here. I've started my family, raised my family, really just been here ever since.
Okay. So what part of Maryland did you live in?
Frederick, Maryland.
Okay. All right. I grew up in Prince George's County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And my brother still is in Annapolis, so I get up there every year or so, and you need to get up there next year.
Beautiful area. The Naval Academy is so cool there.
Yeah. Annapolis is really a neat place to visit. That's okay. That explains your accent, because you don't have a Southern accent, really.
Ow. Sometimes it then, but not often.
Yeah, well, that's true. For me, sometimes it comes out after all these years, and sometimes I can hear Maryland, you know, say, oh, my word, where did that come from? Oh, that's neat. So, and your undergrad was at?
Lee University.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And your graduate degree, was it?
American College of Education. So both of those were education degrees. My undergrad is actually in English and social studies education. And then my master's is in teaching English language learners.
Okay. Where is the American College of Education?
So it is out of Illinois. I did all my coursework online.
Okay. Yeah. That's becoming, you know, far more what people do. All right. Well, great. Thank you for letting us know more about you. And then, so when did Reb Coffee, when did it begin in your mind and then on paper and then in a real building?
Yeah. You know, it's been in my mind for a long time. I worked in a coffee shop throughout my undergrad. And so I love coffee. I loved making coffee, and I really just enjoyed working there. But as I was there, I really had the dream of opening a bookstore. That was something that I really wanted to do, but didn't know how to necessarily bring to fruition at that time. And so as that kind of just sat there, I was working with students. I worked at a middle school, and as I was working with students, I started to notice just so many deficits in literacy, and it just kind of reignited that passion to figure out how to help others enjoy and love reading, you know, not for it to be a chore, which is what it felt like a lot of the time as an educator, is that, you know, our young people are viewing it as a chore. And so it kind of reignited that dream of mine to help that joy and that love for reading become more prevalent. And so that kind of is where it started in my head. Now, from there, getting it on paper, it really wasn't until the end of 2023, beginning of 2024, we really started that process. And then building wise, that was early on in 2020. I want to say like May-ish, I think we actually got building, started working and doing things. And then towards the end of June, actually, we're able to open.
Yes. Okay. And I think that's when I first got up there.
Yes.
It's for those of you who need to know, tell people how they can get there.
Yeah. So I would say, I guess the best way to explain it would be if you're coming down 153 towards the Hickson area, when you know, you're coming past, you keep going down 153 and you'll pass the Lowe's on your right, and you'll turn right at that Home Depot onto North Point Boulevard. And so North Point Boulevard actually connects 153 and Hickson Pike. So if you're coming from Hickson Pike, then you would turn left onto North Point Boulevard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, and it's just for reference, not to give somebody free advertising, but it's near the bridal shop. Bridal shop. Yeah.
Yes. Sharon's Bridal is right next door to us. And Briante Jeweler is also right there in the same plaza. So those are super visible near me.
And it's kind of behind or in front of a Home Depot. Yes.
Home Depot. And then on the other side, Goodwill. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I bring up the bridal shop because that's where my daughter-in-law bought her dress. I always want to go in and say, thank you. She's had a beautiful wedding, but she's never date. Nope. I go up there. Okay. So let's talk about the name Rev. What is that about?
So rêve is a French word meaning dream. And kind of as we already touched on, this was a dream. And that's something that I'm passionate about is chasing those dreams in the way that are, you know, logical and reasonable to do so. And so I actually studied some French throughout middle, high school, and my undergrad. I took French classes in school. I would not say that I'm fluent by any means. I did travel to Quebec twice, once in high school and once with my husband. And, you know, I would feel pretty fluent when I was reading and trying to write French, and then I would get there. And when you communicate with natives, they speak so quickly that it's overwhelming. It's hard. So I definitely wouldn't say I'm fluent, but I know some French and I enjoy the language. So that was kind of what made me want to choose that language. And I mean, it also just sounds prettier than calling it dream coffee and books.
Yes, it does. It has a mystery to it in the sense. Do people come in and say, what's this name about?
Often, yeah. People ask us that pretty often and how to pronounce it too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned that you were a middle school teacher, correct?
Yes.
And you taught English?
I did, yes.
Language arts? Okay. And that's a big part of your dream to start Rêve. And so as far as a business plan, I don't want to get too technical because I don't really know what that means anyway. But what makes Rêve different from maybe another bookstore, coffee shop kind of place?
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of off the bat, right? One thing is just that we are locally owned and operated. And so, of course, in some of the bigger name competition of coffee and books, that would be one part of it. Some of the other things that make us kind of different are one, just that we try to source as locally as possible for as many of our products as we can. So we have lots of different vendors throughout the store that are all local, and that goes anywhere from chocolate covered Oreos and such that's made by a local lady to locally written books and artwork, and then jewelry and magnets and such as well. We have, of course, our beans that are roasted locally. They're actually grown in Ethiopia. And one way that kind of sets us apart is that our beans are actually spring washed, not chemical washed, and then sun dried. So that really helps with some flavor, of course. And then we also source our tea pretty locally. So we use someone called High Garden Tea, and they are organic tea as well. Most of their teas, not all, are grown in the Tennessee Valley region. And they also have a lot of conservation efforts. So that's super neat too. We love working with them. So just kind of our goal to use what our community has and bring that and make it more available in the community has been one thing that's really made us different. We have a lot of people that are like, you know, I can't have a brick and mortar building, but I have these things that I make, and this allows me to get that out here in our town. So that's been really neat. We also make our syrups in-house, so that makes our coffee a little bit different because we make those.
Okay. I had no idea there was tea grown in the Tennessee Valley.
Yeah. And so some of it, you know, tea, like one of their teas, we make an iced tea from their tea that is a sumac berry based tea. So, you know, a lot of it's herbs and dried things like that, you know, you put in the water and it brings it to life. And I know that there are some chamomiles as well that they do. Lavender tea is going to be grown here. So it's all the sorts of those kinds. I know that one of the teas that we have that is not grown in Tennessee, I want to say it's the only one actually, is our milky oolong. So that one can be great.
Neat. All right. So that's one way what you're serving. And so along with coffee, you serve little, you call them bits, I think, or bites.
Little bites. Yeah. And we're working on expanding our menu, hopefully in the future. So one thing that we really wanted to do was kind of just take things step by step, make sure that we were biting off what we could chew at each, you know, interval. So right now we do have small bites. We have some baked goods, things of that sort. And we also have parfaits. And then, like I said, we have a lady who makes chocolate goodies of different kinds too.
Oh, neat. The other thing, of course, is that you have a literacy focus with young people. So you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. So in terms of that, you know, I told you my background is in education. we wanted to be able to sell books, but didn't necessarily want to be the same at every bookstore. So we have a used book section. We have a blind date with a book section that are all made by a local lady as well. And then we have our local book section. And that is a big part of us just trying to reignite a love of reading in our community, especially in adults in that park. We do carry a lot of kids books there. In terms of helping with our younger readers, we've been doing different story times, writing workshops, and then we have a reading intervention tutoring program. And so right now I run that on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. And so we have a, you know, little groups, small groups that meet and work on just some of the reading deficits that students have and need a little extra support with.
Oh, how neat. Are these students from schools or homeschooled or both?
So we allow either. Either one.
Okay. That's amazing. So that's another reason why people listening need to get up there and support this local business. And I'm really pushing local businesses, and partially because I'm a local author. So, but also because the local is so important. I mean, it's so easy to just get something from a big store or online for somebody instead of for Christmas, for example, instead of really thinking it through and getting them something that's you put some thought into, I think.
Yeah, I'd say a big obstacle in that regard is just convenience. And that's one thing that we constantly look for ways to make supporting local people more convenient. And I think that's sometimes why, like you said, it's easier to just go buy something, you know. And absolutely, I always encourage people to remember that supporting local and local creators or writers, artists and businesses, all of those sorts of things, that is helping build our community. If you can, it's always appreciated.
And so that brings me to the fact that you also host artists and authors as far as readings and things like that.
Yeah, yes. And so we've been working on kind of building that in our community, different author events. We've been doing a lot of different kind of trial runs of different kinds of things, story times with kids, like I said, some reading and writing workshops. We've had just readings. We have had some reading and writing workshops, and then some authors actually come in and do signings and read from their books and meet with people. So that has been super fun. In terms of artists, we haven't had specifically art-focused events yet, but that's something we're looking towards. One thing that we are doing here very shortly that is our newest idea is a Secret Santa book exchange kind of event. And so we're trying to bring different ways for people in the community to meet and to have a third place. That kind of touches back on the business plan that you asked about. One of our visions is to be a third place in the community. So that's not home, that's not work, but it's another place that you go and enjoy your time and meet with others. And so we're trying to provide opportunities for that and things to do when they can come by. But of course, we do have plenty of open business hours where nothing is going on and you can come in there and it's a very calm environment to get some work done or read.
Yes, and I want to say that to listeners that it's a very calm, it's very inviting sort of place. They have sofas as well as typical tables and chairs. And then they have, as she mentioned, she has two or three, I think, shelves of books from either used books or local authors. And I saw a lot of my friends' books there up on the shelves. I said, oh, I know them. I know them. So
we have our beginning authors in store.
Yeah. Do these people just contact you and ask you if you'll carry their books?
Some, yeah. I mean, it's kind of been amazing how all of that in terms of the local authors has come to be. When I was like, hey, let's figure out how to do this. I really just kind of made a post, a local post on a page, asking for local authors that would be interested in selling their books at a local coffee store, and had a lot of response. And from there, as we actually got opened and had some of them on the shelves to start, we kind of started getting known for that and had customers and other authors coming in and just asking us about, you know, hey, how do I get on the shelf? I have a book. And so that's their way. We've also attended events that are like the library in Chattanooga had a local author's fair. So we went there and gave out cards and introduced ourselves and what we do. And so things of that sort as well.
Okay, neat. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit of this. What's your next step? What are some things you plan to be doing soon?
Yeah, so the Secret Santa Book Exchange is one of them. The way we're going to do that is through the month of December, we're going to have you just drop by with a wrapped book. We say ask that you do your favorite book. Make sure there's no personal information or anything in it. And then you just put it in our Secret Santa exchange bin and you get to take one that has been left there by somebody else that is their favorite book. And so there's not even any money involved. It's literally just a straight up book gift exchange. So that's one thing that we're we have started very recently. This is something that's kind of a next step to continue with and to help grow our book clubs. So we have had one, we're doing one a month right now and hope to see that grow. And then from there, we would really love to have art gallery showings, that sort of thing, do more local author events with multiple authors. And yeah, absolutely. We really also would love to see some of our children's programs, story times, and maybe even, this is pulling from my ESL background. I just have a lot of passion for that. I would love to get maybe a bilingual story time. I think that would be super fun.
Okay, well, I might have somebody who can help you on that one. My daughter-in-law is Hispanic, and she does that. She teaches at a language school now. She taught in the public schools, and she does story times and all that. And that'd be a lot of fun. So this is the name of this podcast is Dialogues with Creators, and I don't have like a academic definition of this is creativity. So what does that mean to you? Because, you know, I could do that and, you know, do research on it and everything. But our approach is you're doing something very creative. So I'm introducing people who are creative in the community to others is my goal, is my whole goal. So, but when you think of creativity, how does that operate in your life? How do you think about it?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I feel like often I see creativity in almost everything. I love to write. I love to write silly things like songs and sing them to my kids. I love to just sing. And I think that often it's in life, it's just a way of bringing joy to the mundane parts of our life. And that's what we create. And so I don't think that there is a great way to just define creativity to any one thing. In terms of our life, obviously this idea was something we created. This business is something we created. My husband is an artist. So he creates all the time. And then we have three boys and I would say they're about as creative as can be, but sometimes in ways that you just wouldn't think of. You know, you think creativity, you think, oh, painting, you know, art, music, you know, some of those more things that just come right to your head. And you know, I have one of my kiddos that will take his bike apart and turn it into like some sort of robot thing. You wouldn't think of it necessarily as a normal form of hippie, but it is. You're like, okay, well, that's not what I wanted you to do with your bike, but that's kind of neat.
Uh-huh. Well, that's exactly what we're doing here because I wanted to get away from what people think of as creative. Creativity is a traditional art form. It is drawing or painting or writing or playing music or composing music because I think that causes others to think they're not creative when they really, really are. You know, some of the people that win Nobel Prizes in science, if you study them, they're very creative because they are seeing whole new ways to answer big questions. And to me, an entrepreneur, someone starting a business because you have to differentiate yourself from all the other businesses out there and market it, you have to be very creative.
Oh man, you're catching on that. I will say that has been definitely the biggest thing for me to learn and just to keep up with the curve of what marketing on social media is today. has definitely tested my creative skills with flyers and videos and posts and all that sort of thing. You definitely have to touch on some creative skills there.
Yeah. So, so those are business oriented. And then of course in teaching, you have to be creative every minute.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
People don't realize how much creativity goes into teaching. If you want to be good at it, you know, if you just read out of a textbook, that's not very creative.
No, definitely. You need a lot of creativity to make the material engaging.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And one way to do that is through storytelling. I tell a lot of stories. And the thing about telling stories when you've been teaching as long as I have, that you get really good at them. They get more and more dramatic. So, okay. Well, I really appreciate that you have given us this time on a Saturday night. Is there anything else you would like to say to our listeners?
Just that we appreciate anybody that is listening and supporting the creators that are here and that exist. And to just remember that supporting local goes a long way, and that we appreciate all of the love that we have been offered and are always looking to meet new people and see if we can help you too. So if you're a creator of any kind and you're looking for a place around Chattanooga to get that out there, feel free to reach out to us. We also always encourage people to leave us reviews and to follow us on social media. So we're super easy to find on Instagram and Facebook. It's just our name, Rev Coffee and Books. And Rev is spelled R-E-V-E. So,
yeah. So I want everybody who is listening to do that and to give her a shout out on social media. And if you are in that area, now some of our listeners live like I do in Dalton, so they don't go up there much. But if you are north of Ringgold, you should go up there and check some things out. I go up there because to see Anniston, but also have some family kinds of things going on up there too. So, all right. Well, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Yeah. I really appreciate you thinking of me and having us on here. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, thank you for listening. Let me finish with a commercial. Help your local businesses this Christmas and always. Go by Anniston's business. Yes, sometimes you will pay a little more because the local businesses can't produce at the scale a big box store can, but you will be helping a new entrepreneur, keeping dollars in your community, encouraging creativity, and probably providing a unique gift that shows more thought. Thanks for listening.